Hey, good morning, everybody. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. So I am really excited today to be able to share with you a positive message of the beauty of God's love for you. And if you didn't notice, Donna's not sitting here on my left-hand side. And the reason for that is she is taking my son's wife, my daughter-in-law, Sage, and her two babies to the airport where she's going to fly home. And early this morning, my chiropractic son Anthony started driving. He left at 4:30 this morning and is driving the car back. So they're going back to Utah where he has his practice and where they live and where they're raising their family. And so Donna's at the airport or dropping Sage and the two girls off at the airport. So I don't think she'll be back in time to be here this morning, but hey, we're still here. This is the day the Lord has made, and we're going to rejoice and be glad in it. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day where we can join together in prayer around the world, knowing that you are the God who created everything. You are the God who lives in our hearts, our minds, and our souls. You're the God who brings justice and righteousness. You're the God who destroys evil and perpetrates goodness. And so, O Lord, we pray to you today that you will fill our minds with your love, our hearts with your hope, and our souls with your faith. We love you, Lord, and we praise your name always and forever. Amen. So, like I said, Donna is at the airport dropping off the kids, and you'll notice I'm in a different background. Maybe if you watched last night, we have the same background. We have our call. If it's the 15th of the month at 6 p.m. Pacific time, we have our call, which is our which we started off as our podcast, and we put all of our Sunday morning services on our podcasts. And you can watch our podcast or listen to our podcast, I should say, on almost every streaming service that's available. If you have a Siri or if you have an Alexa or one of those other computer-driven entertainment systems, all you have to do is say, Robert Schuller Ministries, please, and it'll come up and give you an option of what you want to listen to. And we have a lot of inventory there. So you can also go to our website at drschuller.org. That's drschuller.org. And if you go there, you can find our podcast listed, and you can look at our website. We have all kinds of things available for you. We have links to our YouTube page. If you're listening on YouTube, please subscribe to our YouTube channel. And we'll continue to let you know whenever we post something new. And we post quite often, every Sunday morning, for sure. I don't think I've missed a Sunday morning in creating a new program or a new worship service since we started, 4 years ago. I know we started before COVID. And so anyway, it's been quite a while that we've been doing Facebook Live and this worship service. And then from there, now that other platforms have live streaming capabilities, we're doing several all at the same time. So anyway, here we are. And I say we, today it's me, but I happen to be in my office, and I'm doing it from my office because this morning the girls were still getting up and getting ready and I couldn't set up. So I set up in my office where I can close the door and I can start the service. So anyway, here we are. And one of the things we do is, I should say, one of the things Donna does is she reads the scripture. And what I'm going to read today is, because Donna's not going to read it, I'm going to read it because I'm also going through Romans 5. And so I'm going to read today from Romans 5, verses 1 through 11. So hear these words. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our suffering because we know that suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person. Though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, God died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if, while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Romans 5, verses 1 through 11. I wanted to make sure I didn't give you the wrong passage, 1 through 11. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, you're a God who brings reconciliation into the world. From the beginning of time, you wanted to touch the hearts of your people. Ever since Adam left his presence, you have been reaching out to us, your children. And so, oh God, we pray right now that you will indeed touch every heart and soul that hears your cry, that you will hear our suffering, and you will direct us towards the perseverance which develops character and hope. And so we thank you, God, for your words of encouragement, and your words of joy and peace that comes into our lives because of Jesus Christ. We love you, Lord. We praise your name always and forever. Amen. So we have been sharing the good news of Jesus Christ for years. I know I started my own ministry, or I should say I was ordained into the Christian ministry back in 1980 in the Reformed Church in America, in the Classis of California. And I was actually postponed my ordination service until the cathedral was completed in September of 1980. I could have been ordained in outside the cathedral, but I wanted to say I was ordained in the cathedral. And so I waited a few months until the cathedral was opened. And on the second Sunday of since the opening of the cathedral was opened in the third Sunday and the fourth Sunday of September, I was ordained. And that was in 1980. So I have been working in ministry my entire life, and it is something I've been studying, and I have the joy and privilege of being able to share whatever I can with you every single Sunday morning. So we are here on all these different platforms at 8 a.m., and if I'm not there, it's due to technical difficulties, and hopefully I'm on the website. If not there, I'll be on YouTube or Facebook or someplace. And so come back and participate in understanding the news that God has for you. So we consider this a church service. And the reason we consider a church service is because we have prayer. We join together in worship. We have teaching, we read the Bible, and I don't sing. That's where I kind of draw the line, even though one time I had a fairly good voice. And in fact, I led worship in high school with my guitar back in the day. And again, that was in the 70s. So that was a long time ago. And maybe, I think I may have started in 1969. So I would have been a sophomore in high school in 1969. I think that's when I started. And maybe even 68. But anyway, I've been in ministry my entire life for a very long time. And so this is something that just is second nature to me. And I just want you to know that if there's anything I can do for you, I am first and foremost a pastor. If you want to reach out to me for anything whatsoever, you can. If there's an opportunity for you to chat here, I don't think you can on our website, but if you're one of the rooms where you can chat, you're welcome to send a question or ask anything from me. And I can't always respond to all of it because I'm concentrating on my message, but I'll try to get back to you. The best way to get to contact with me is to go to Robert Schuller Ministries. Email me at robertschullerministries@gmail.com. And that is the best way to reach me. I will get that and I will respond. And so if you have any questions, anything you want to talk to me about whatsoever, you can do that. One of the things we do every Sunday morning is we collect an offering. And I say this every single week, and I'll continue to say it. We collect an offering so you can experience the blessings of God. Not because God's a vending machine where you put money in and get something back. That's not the way God works. What you do is your offering is an expression of your faith. It is an example of your trust in God to meet your needs, and you're giving a clear demonstration, physical, tangible demonstration that you believe in God and his love for you. And by doing that, you naturally become better, not necessarily because God wants to bless you, even though he does, and he will. The way he does that is you become a better person by putting your finances in order. You're able to say, I have more faith in God than I do my finances. And the list goes on and on. But I'm not going to say more about that other than to say that if you wish to support this ministry, because your goal as a giver is to tithe, and that tithe is to go to spiritual causes that build the kingdom of God. And I would encourage you to give to places where you find your spiritual growth. If it's here, then you should give here. If it's to your local church, to your local church. If it's to another television ministry, another television ministry. And if it's all of the above, then divide your tithe up accordingly. And that's the way you should be thinking as far as how you give your tithe. The tithe is 10% of your income. That's the goal. Few people can start off with a tithe for just basically because they're stretched too thin. And since they haven't been tithing, they don't understand the principles of giving. And so it's very difficult. So you have to start and decide, okay, how am I going to start? Maybe it's $1. Maybe it's $2. We have somebody who anonymously sends us $2 every few weeks, and all of a sudden we just get an envelope and inside is $2. No return address on it. I have no idea who it is, but somebody does that. That's their level of commitment. And that may be the widow's mite, meaning that person is giving more than anyone else in our ministry because of the percentage of what it is. We don't know, and that doesn't matter to us. What matters to us is that you have the relationship with God that you want and that you experience the joys of giving. And when you start with, say, 1% of your income, what happens is God blesses that 1%. That 1% in your life begins to improve. And then you continue to expand from 1 to 2 to 3 to 4 to 5 until you can receive all the blessings of God. And in Malachi 3:10, it says, bring your tithes to the storehouse and see if I will not bring up such a blessing upon you that your storehouses won't be able to contain it. That's in the Bible, Malachi 3:10. And so we have this direction. And so if you wish to give to this ministry, go to our website and there's a button there that says, I'd like to give. Second way you can give is you can write to us at 26 Canyon Island Drive, Newport Beach, California, 92660. And if you didn't get that, you can come back and you can rewind it and get it later. Or you can go to our website again at drschuller.org. That's drschuller.org. And at the bottom of that page, you'll see our address written there, 26 Canyon Island Drive, Newport Beach, California, 92660. And the final way is you can Venmo Robert Schuller Ministries. Make sure it's Robert Schuller Ministries because there's other Robert Schullers out there, but Robert Schuller Ministries, and you can Venmo us. So that's the way we collect an offering. And so God, again, will bless you for what you're able to give. So a couple announcements. Don and I are going to take another trip to the Holy Land. I can't believe I'm saying this, but she made a commitment to do that, which means she committed me to participate. And so we will be doing that in May of 2025. So we haven't put the details together yet. But we're in process of doing that, and with God's blessings, we'll make that happen. But anyway, here we are, and we're continuing to share the good news of Jesus Christ in every way we possibly can. So this morning, I'm going to continue to talk a little bit about Romans 5. Romans 5 is a very popular chapter in the Bible. And one of the more popular verses in the Bible is Romans 5, and the verse number is 3 and 4, actually. So, and those verses say, we glory in our, where do I start? We know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame. And that's a very popular verse in Christian circles. And there's been many sermons that have been delivered on that, the whole idea of suffering and how suffering happens to us. And I've delivered messages on that in the past. And I could spend the next 30 minutes easily talking specifically about that verse. But what I want to talk about more this morning is a bigger picture overarching all of Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5 comes to us, and St. Paul starts off by talking about faith. And after he talks about faith, he talks about hope, and finally he concludes with love, which is it takes Corinthians 13:13 and expands on it. Corinthians 13:13 says, now thereby these three, faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love. So he takes that as his outline, and he expands on the faith, hope, and love here in this passage. And he begins by talking about faith. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, and justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And peace with God is not just a peace that is an outward peace, but is a peace that's an inward peace. It is a state of being as opposed to circumstances around us. And we know that for the case because from here he goes on and he talks about suffering. He says we will suffer. It's not a matter as if we're going to suffer or maybe when we suffer. It's when we suffer. It's not a question whatsoever. Nowhere in the Bible will you see God promising us freedom from suffering. And that makes Christianity unique from your Eastern religions. Your Eastern religions, which would include Buddhism and the like, basically have a goal of trying to avoid suffering and pain. That's their goal. That's what their motivation is. That's what helps them to get through a series of lives, and they progress through these series of lives until they finally reach nirvana, which is a state free from all suffering and pain, which from my perspective and my understanding is only acquired when we reach the state of nothingness, which is what they talk about a lot, the state of nothingness, and they avoid suffering and pain. Christianity is different. It's not a religion which seeks to avoid suffering and pain, but instead to embrace it and to use it to make us better, stronger people. That's what he talks about here. He says suffering produces perseverance. And perseverance produces character, and then character hope. And hope never disappoints. And that's because our hope is not based upon what we as individuals can do. Our hope is based upon what Jesus Christ has done, will do, and our lives will be determined as a result. You know, we are living in a time in the United States of America specifically, and I think it's pretty much a global situation, where evil has been allowed to permeate throughout our cultures and our societies. We see it in lots of different ways. This past week, Don and I mentioned, if you listened to our program last night, Don and I mentioned the fact that we went and saw the new movie with Jim Caviezel, who is the lead role. We went and saw the movie, The Sound of Freedom. And The Sound of Freedom is a movie which really depicts the horrors that are going on in the world today in child slavery. And we see it in our poorest borders here in the United States as people are importing children. We see it around the world and in countries where child slavery is not outlawed. We find it in places where it's an evil that exists around the world, in the United States of America, in Europe, in Western countries, in Asian countries, in the Middle Eastern countries. It exists. The reports I've heard is that there's 2 million children who are enslaved in the world today. I have read that there's more numbers in slavery today than there were 200 years ago when slavery was allowed in the United States, in Europe, and around the world. So today, I want to pray that we can break through the bonds of evil. And what is evil? What does that mean? It's clearly we know it when we see it. We see this slavery and we know it's evil. And where does it come from? How does it all happen? You know, what is the devil up to, and what is this thing with all of his demons? So let me give you a little history and a little background as to what's going on. In the Bible, we know a little bit. We don't have all the information, but here's what we know, is that God cast one of his archangels, a guy by the name of Lucifer, out of heaven. And from what we can tell, he took about a third of the angels with him, which means we have twice as many angels in heaven as that were cast out of heaven. And Lucifer was cast out of heaven along with his angels that follow him and about a third of the heavens. What we don't know, and there's lots of questions we don't know, so we don't know how many there are. We don't know what their power really is. We don't know whether they replicate. There's a lot of things about angels we don't know. We do know that angels, that Satan and his angels who follow him, which we now call demons, are fallen angels, and therefore they have the same characteristics of an angel. However, they are not blessed by God. They don't produce happiness and goodness. They produce evil. One of the things I know is that as human beings, we give far too much power to Lucifer and to demons than they actually have. I believe that Lucifer and Lucifer is a finite creature. He is not infinite like God. God is infinite. Lucifer is not. Second thing we know is that his demons do not have the power of Lucifer. They have the power of angels. And that for every single demon that's out there, there are two angels to keep them under control. It is a spiritual battle that goes on that is beyond our comprehension in a dimension, a spiritual dimension that we do not understand and is out of our ability. But here's what we do know about Lucifer and his demons. The power they have is the power to lie, to connive, to create false perceptions, and everything they do is nothing but fakeness. That's all it is. That's all they can do. And they will lie. And so what we have to do to combat that and to combat this evil, because through that they perpetuate evil. So how do we combat that? We combat that with the truth of God's word. And the truth of God's word far outweighs the negativity of the demonic presence of Satan and his demons. So what we must do constantly is fight the threat to not follow the laws of God. And when we follow the laws of God, regardless of how much we suffer as a result, we will find pure joy. That's what our text says this morning. That's how it starts off. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. If you're looking for peace today, you don't find it by fulfilling your carnal desires, your human desires that are filled with evil. As an individual, as people, we are innately evil. We aren't innately divine. Because of Adam, and in the second half of Romans 5, we read this, that because of Adam, we are innately evil, which means our core has a carnal side which wants to satisfy our wishes and our desires of sexuality, of food, of pleasure, of everything that is outside the bonds of holy spiritual things. I'm not saying these things are sinful. I'm saying if we put those first in our life, and that's our goal for living, we're never going to find the peace of God that we have in Jesus Christ. That is our carnal desires, our human desires. The Bible gives us civility and gives us morality and gives us the pathway to break through this natural human desires, which are amplified by Satan and or Lucifer and his demons, and then leads us to suffering, which does not lead to hope, but it leads to despair, unhappiness, and death. We are experiencing that in the world today. We've taken the Bible out of the school systems. We've taken prayer out of the school systems. We've declared in our schools and in our institutions of higher learning that God is dead. And as a result of that, we have nowhere to go. And as a result of that, we do not seek God, but instead we seek our carnal pleasures. And those carnal pleasures lead to nothing but sin, death, and destruction. The Bible tells us how to live, how we live sexually, how we live by following the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments, let me remind you, begin with our relationship with God. Why? Because that's how we extinguish evil in the world. We extinguish evil in the world by having a relationship with God. And until we have that relationship with God, evil will continue to stick its ugly head up. It is a human condition. And the demons and Lucifer know how to amplify that. That's all they can do. They amplify that by giving us lies. And the lies read like this: you know, you'll be happier if you listen to your feelings. Don't listen to the Bible that says, and don't listen to the Word of God that says God created you as a male and a female. Listen to your desires and your wishes and your lusts and your thoughts and follow those. If you do that, then you'll be happy. And there's nothing further from the truth. We find our happiness by following the laws of God. And one of the first things we see in the Bible is God created you and me as male and female. And he created us to have a relationship with one person, a husband or a wife. Male and female, he created them. And he wants us to procreate. He wants us to have children. And it is in having these children that we find our greatest joy and our desire and our suffering. It's a greatest paradox in life, but that by suffering we find our joys. And that's what life is about. And that's why Paul goes on from there that suffering produces perseverance. We don't find perseverance by everything going our way. If we did, we would never be challenged. We'd never have the opportunity to strengthen our spiritual muscles. We'd become lame ducks. We would become ineffective human beings, simply breathing and occupying space, as opposed to human beings who are productive and resourceful. Ronald Reagan said it this way. He said, history tells us that a society that aims for equality over liberty ends up with neither equality nor liberty. The only way you can arrive at equality is to take from those who have and give to those who don't. Any system that aims for liberty will get closer to equality than any other system known to man. We don't find equality in our world, in the United States, in the Western world, by taking from others. We find equality by allowing liberty to thrive and allowing people the freedom which we have. And the freedom only survives and only works under a theocratic system, meaning that we are one nation under God, which is on all of our currency, one nation under God. And when we take God out of our nation, we take God out of our schools, we take God out of our education systems, we take God out of our lives, it doesn't work. We will have neither freedom nor equality. And we will never experience the beauty that God has for us. He went on to say that freedom exists not to do what you want, but the right to do what you ought. Here we are today, and we're looking at a passage of scripture that was written by St. Paul to the church in Rome. Rome was probably the most evil places on planet Earth. What did Rome do for entertainment? They would have men go into a Colosseum, and thousands of people would go in there to watch them kill each other, or to just have mass executions on and torture people and animals, and have ship battles, which were literally taking the lives of others. This wasn't just a show. It was a show to the death. Evil. That is evil. Rome was the epitome of sexual promiscuity. It was the epitome of these foreign gods, that idols that were made through mythology and made by human hands. And suddenly people would put their trust in these pieces of bronze or wood that was sculptured and created by men. And they followed this mythology, and they would participate in gross sexual activities with other animals and everything else. It was the most evil place in the world. And it is to Rome that Paul writes these words. He says, this character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. The Holy Spirit of God comes into our hearts, our souls, our minds. He fills us with the assurance that as we trust God's word to follow God, because I was going to give you the Ten Commandments, let me give them to you right now. The first commandment is, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Commandment number two, do not make a graven image. Command number three, do not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Number four, honor the Sabbath day. Number five, honor your father and your mother. From there, it goes into the five that most people are familiar with. Do not covet. You know, do not go, oh, if only I had those things that other people have. Do not steal. Do not kill. Do not lie. Do not bear false witness. And do not commit adultery. I didn't get all those in the proper order, but I got them all. Those are the Ten Commandments. It's something that we need to know. It's something we need to be aware of. It's something we need to incorporate into our lives, because by following the Ten Commandments, which have been taken out of many of our institutions, but still stands on the court of the highest of this land, on the Supreme Court building. And thank God it's there. Thank God we still have In God We Trust on our currency. And that's another topic. We could talk about CBDCs and the goal that they have to take away our constitutional right of privacy, etc. Because there is the evil. What evil wants to do is to take away our freedom and create a totalitarianism, which is there to tax, to control, and to spend. And that's what they want to do. They want to spend the money to buy votes, that to entitle people in order to get more votes, in order they can tax and control. That is a governmental process that is taking place in the United States and throughout the world today, which is not what produces the greatest freedom and joy and peace. What we need to pray for and work for and strive for as a society and a culture is the freedom to be able to protect what we have and to be the people that God wants us to be. Because I'm going to, since I've quoted Ronald Reagan, I'll continue to quote him. Another one he says is, what they truly don't understand is the principle, you cannot strengthen the weak by weakening the strong. You cannot help the wage earner by pulling down the wage payer. You cannot help the poor by destroying the rich. You cannot help men permanently by doing for them what they could and should do for themselves. Ladies and gentlemen, God has created the United States of America as a beacon of hope that will continue to promote freedom, which is the message that God has for us. It is the message we have throughout the New Testament. It starts with the Old Testament, with Moses taking the people out of bondage and out of slavery in Egypt, giving them freedom, bringing them to the promised land. It continues throughout the Old Testament and into the New Testament. And God's message for us is freedom. Continue to live free, continue to promote freedom, continue to hold on to hope, and the love of God will give you the strength to see the beauty of God in all things and in all ways. Evil is in this world. It's incarnate in our souls. It was cast out of heaven with Lucifer and his demons. But God, who controls the universe, who is infinite, and who has twice as many angels to combat all of the demons of Lucifer, will keep our minds focused on him as we continue to look to the Bible for the morality that we have and for the love that we have. And so with that, I want to just say that God loves you. He knows exactly what he made. He knows how you were created and why you were created. He knows how many hairs are on your head. He knows exactly what sufferings you're going to experience today, tomorrow. He knows exactly what you've come through to be where you are now. And none of it was a mistake. None of it. It's brought you to a place right now where you can declare, Jesus is Lord. And by making that declaration, you're saying you're going to make Jesus Lord of your life. That you're no longer going to be the crown of your life, but Jesus is going to take the crown off your head, put it on the crown of Jesus, and you're going to live in thanksgiving to God, knowing that he will empower you and strengthen you to get through all the circumstances and frustrations and difficulties that you need to go through. It's not going to be easy. He never promised it to be easy, but it's going to be rewarding. It's going to give you fulfillment. It's going to give you hope. And the sooner you get connected with other like-minded people by going to another church that understands the Bible and preaches the gospel and shares the good news of Jesus Christ, the better it'll be. And you're never going to find a perfect church. If you do, the minute you join it, it's not going to be perfect anymore. You can't perfect perfection. So every church you go to will be imperfect, but God uses the imperfections, and he'll use you to help create and shape that institution. It is a living organism. And as living beings, we are constantly in a state of change, constantly in a state of flux. We're constantly in a state of awareness. And as we keep our eyes focused on the Ten Commandments, knowing that evil abounds, that we are in, we are inclined to become evil people. And as we continue to call upon God to empower us and to protect us with his angels, keep the demons away, he will. And you will be victorious through your perseverance, through your suffering. You will develop the character and you will develop the hope. And as a result of that, you will experience the complete love of Jesus. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your Bible. Remind us to open up our Bibles and to read, to understand, to receive your Holy Spirit, which will interpret the words for us. Give us the faith to move today, just today, to be closer to you, to put away our carnal desires and upload our spiritual realities of your love. Help, give us the faith to follow you wherever you lead. We love you, Lord. We praise your name, always and forever. Amen. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord grant you his peace. Lying down and you're rising up, your labor and your leisure, in your laughter and in your tears, until you come to stand before Jesus in that day in which there is no sunset and no dawning. Amen. God is blessing you. Go with him. Bye-bye.